Welcome back. Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace. I just accidentally almost ate the microphone. It's the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat, and I almost ate the microphone again. Let me reposition this thing. It's clearly not in the right spot. There we go. Alright, today we're up to book 10, chapter 16, and I just wanted to say before we start, I haven't forgotten about the Ask Tolstoy bonus episode. It is coming. I've just had a lot of work on in the last few days, so I'm postponing it. But I think I'll do it tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning will be Saturday. I've got a bit of time to myself, a bit of free time, so I'm going to do it then. I don't really know what I'm going to do, so I'm going to allow, you know, a little bit of extra time to experiment with that podcast and see what happens. So, it's coming. It's coming soon. All right, here we go. Book 10, chapter 16. Here it is. Well, that's all, said Kutuzov, as he signed the last of the documents. And, rising heavily and smoothing out the folds in his fat white neck, he moved towards the door with a more cheerful expression. The priest's wife, flushing rosy red, caught up the dish she had not managed to present at the right moment after all, though she had so long been preparing for it, and with a low bow offered it to Kutuzov. He screwed up his eyes, smiled, lifted her chin with his hand, and said, "Ah, what a beauty. Thank you, sweetheart." He took some gold pieces from his trouser pocket and put them on the dish for her. "Well, my dear, and how are we getting on?" he asked, moving to the door of the room assigned to him. The priest's wife smiled, and with dimples in her rosy cheeks, followed him into the room. The adjutant came out to the porch and asked Prince Andrew to lunch with him. Half an hour later, Prince Andrew was again called to Kutuzov. He found him reclining in an armchair, still in the same unbuttoned overcoat. He had in his hand a French book, which he closed as Prince Andrew entered, marking the place with a knife. Prince Andrew saw by the cover that it was Le Chevalier de Signy by Madame de Genlis. "Well, sit down here, let's have a talk," said Kutuzov. "It's sad, very sad, but remember, my dear fellow, that I am a father to you, a second father." Prince Andrew told Kutuzov all he knew of his father's death, and what he had seen at Bald Hills when he passed through it. What they have brought us to," Kutuzov suddenly cried in an agitated voice, evidently picturing vividly to himself from Prince Andrew's story the condition Russia was in. "But give me time," he said with a grim look, evidently not wishing to continue this agitating conversation, and added, "I sent for you to keep you with me." "I thank your Serene Highness, but I fear I am no longer fit for the staff," replied Prince Andrew with a smile which Kutuzov noticed. Kutuzov glanced inquiringly at him. "But above all," added Prince Andrew, "I have grown used to my regiment, am fond of the officers, and I fancy the men also like me. I should be sorry to leave the regiment. If I decline the honour of being with you, believe me." A shrewd, kindly, yet subtly derisive expression lit up Kutuzov's podgy face. He cut Bolkonski short. "I am sorry, for I need you. But you're right, you're right. It's not here that men are needed. Advisers are also always plentiful, but men are not. The regiments would not be what they are if the would-be advisers served there as you do. I remember you at Austerlitz, I remember, yes. I remember you with the standard," said Kutuzov, and a flush of pleasure suffused Prince Andrew's face at this recollection. Taking his hand and drawing him downwards, Kutuzov offered his cheek to be kissed, and Prince Andrew noticed tears in the old man's eyes. Though Prince Andrew knew that Kutuzov's tears came easily, and that he was particularly tender to and considerate of him, from a wish to show sympathy with his loss, Yet this reminder of Austerlitz was both pleasant and flattering to him. Go your way and God be with you. I know your path is the path of honour. He paused. I missed you at Bucharest, but I needed someone to send. And changing the subject, Kutuzov began to speak of the Turkish war and the peace that had been concluded. Yes, I have been much blamed, he said, both for that war and for the peace. But everything came at the right time. Tous vi appoin a celui qui se attendre, which translates to everything comes in time to him who knows how to wait. And there were as many advisers there as here, he went on, returning to the subject of advisers which evidently occupied him. Ah, those advisers, said he. If we had listened to them all, we should not have made peace with Turkey, and should not have been through with that war. Everything in haste, but more haste, less speed. Kamensky would have been lost if he had not died. He stormed fortresses with 30,000 men. It is not difficult to capture a fortress, but it is difficult to win a campaign. For that, not storming and attacking, but patience and time are wanted. Kamensky sent soldiers to Rostchuk, but I only employed these two things and took more fortresses than Kamensky and made the Turks eat horse flesh. He swayed his head. And the French shall too, believe me. He went on, growing warmer and beating his chest. I'll make them eat horse flesh. And tears again dimmed his eyes. But shan't we have to accept battle? Remarked Prince Andrew. We shall if everybody wants it. It can't be helped, but believe me, my dear boy, if there is nothing stronger than these two, patience and time, they will do it all. But the advisers, n'intendant dis de city au réel voilar le mal, which translates to, don't listen with that ear, that's the trouble. Some want a thing, others don't. What's one to do? He asked, evidently expecting an answer. Well, what do you want us to do? He repeated, and his eyes shone with a deep, shrewd look. I'll tell you what to do, he continued, as Prince Andrew still did not reply. I will tell you what to do, and what I do. Dans le doute, mon cher, he paused, abstiens-toi, he articulated the French proverb deliberately, which translates to, when in doubt, my dear fellow, do nothing. Well, goodbye, my dear fellow. Remember that with all my heart I share your sorrow, and that for you I am not a Serene Highness, nor a prince, nor a commander-in-chief, but a father. If you want anything, come straight to me. Goodbye, my dear boy. Again he embraced and kissed Prince Andrew, but before the latter had left the room, Kutuzov gave a sigh of relief and went on with his unfinished novel, Les Chevaliers du Cygne, by Madame de Genlis. Prince Andrew could not have explained how or why it was, but after that interview with Kutuzov, he went back to his regiment, reassured as to the general course of affairs and as to the man to whom it had been entrusted. The more he realized the absence of all personal motive in that old man, in whom there seemed to remain only the habit of passions, and in place of an intellect grouping events and drawing conclusions, only the capacity calmly to contemplate the course of events, the more reassured he was that everything would be as it should. He will not bring in any plan of his own. He will not devise or undertake anything, thought Prince Andrew. But he will hear everything, remember everything, and put everything in its place. He will not hinder anything useful, nor allow anything harmful. He understands that there is something stronger and more important than his own will, the inevitable course of events, and he can see them and grasp their significance, and seeing that significance can refrain from meddling and renounce his personal wish directed to something else. And above all, thought Prince Andrew, one believes in him because he's Russian, despite the novel by Genlis and the French proverbs, and because his voice shook when he said, what they have brought us to, and had a sob in it when he had said he would make them eat horse flesh. on such feelings, more or less dimly shared by all, the unanimity and general approval were founded with which, despite court influences, the popular choice of Kutuzov as commander-in-chief was received. Alright, there we go, another chapter down, and we saw a little bit of a different side to Kutuzov there. He's been gruff in the past, is to put it lightly, but you know, now he's kind of like, I don't know, I saw him in a different light just now. I was like, okay, he does his job and he does it really damn well. He's a war strategizing machine. And his number one tool is to just do nothing. In most cases, the best thing to do is to keep it simple, not convolute the whole thing, and just do nothing. And sort of brutally, but with extreme precision, he can hear a plan, completely disinterested. There's no ego attached to it. There's no wishful thinking or that gambler's sort of like, yes, let's do it, that excitement. Just completely cold. He can either okay it or dismiss it. He knows if it's going to be a hindrance or a help. He knows to cut out things that might be complicated, and if something seems like it might be helpful, implement it in a simple way, and he gets things done in that manner. It's kind of impressive. He said it himself, his two main tools are patience and time. Believe me, my dear boy, he tells Prince Andrei, there is nothing stronger than those two, patience and time. They will do all. Kind of a cool line from the book there. Also, I don't know if he was just being kind because Prince Andrew's father has just died, but it seems like he really likes Prince Andrew. It seems like this meeting between Kutuzov and Prince Andrew just now will bode well for Andrew. He's got a pretty specific vision of what he wants to achieve within the army, Andrei. And it's not the typical quest for glory. And Kutuzov is similar. Kutuzov seeks no glory at all in the way that he rules over the army. And so now Kutuzov has basically said, I'm a second father to you. Anything you need, come to me. So Andrei's lofty ambitions within the army, and I think fairly noble ambitions within the army. He's just got a really good leg up there from Kutuzov to achieve those. So that's really cool to see. Andrei has just been basically had some extra power bestowed upon him, and we can kind of trust him to do the right thing with that power. He's not going to seek glory with it. He's actually going to try to make a difference. Now, Kansas 57 said, does anyone know the significance of the book Kutuzov was reading? Yeah, so it is significant. So it was a Madame de Genlis book. And I thought that rang a bell. Now, Ernie Pook said, good question. The author was mentioned way back in book 1, chapter 14, which was, I think, chapter 11 for us. I think that was the chapters where they didn't line up perfectly. But the line was, you are a Madame de Genlis and nothing more. This nickname, bestowed on Vera by Nicholas, was considered very stinging, and your greatest pleasure is to be unpleasant to people. Now, do you remember that? Nicholas, when he was young, before he'd gone off to war, was picking on his older sister for being nosy and getting into their business and annoying them. I think she was like dobbing in the kids for doing something naughty or something like that, and that was Nicholas's retort. Then they picked on Vera by saying, Madame de Genlis, Madame de Genlis, shouted laughing voices through the door. So, we discussed this way back then. Kansas 57 said, good catch, Ernie Pook, thanks for sharing. So I'm diving back into the discussion forum from way back then, 6 months ago now, and we're going to see exactly what we found out about that Madame de Genlis. So this note here from Leith Seal said, one additional thing. I looked up Madame de Genlis, the name teasingly given to Vera by Sonia, Natasha, and the boys, and it appears that she was a rather prolific writer famed for her quick wit and propensity for quarrelling. Perhaps there's another reason, but that's the only parallel I could see on Wikipedia, and I'm probably missing something much more obvious. Then there was another comment from One Lowdown, that said Madame de Genlis was also thought to be working as a spy for Napoleon. Maybe the other children think of her only in gathering information to hurt them later. So, it seems like Madame de Genlis was an author who was very close to Napoleon. So it seems maybe Kutuzov is reading her writing in an attempt to get to better know his enemy. Could be something like that. Or there could be some other intrigue there for him, but you kind of get the idea that he's doing it as a way to keep his ear to the ground. He's keeping his eyes peeled. He's looking for hints. He's trying to get to know what's going on. He's not reading for fun. He's reading to gather information at all times. All right. That's going to do us for today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you tomorrow.